Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse number 5. Let's read verse 5 through verse number 7 together. All right, y'all ready? Here we go. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Very good. Although I heard a sneeze in there, that's not in the Bible, okay? But that's just something a little bit different. But these are the verses we're focused on. Now we are dealing with and have been dealing with for the past 3 Sundays. This makes number 4, talking about patience. And now we've said from the get-go that that we are adding to faith. And so therefore, faith must be the foundation. You don't have to have a mountain of faith. You just have to have the mustard seed to start with. It may not know what it is to live in every moment, in every question, in every opportunity through faith just yet. It might be something that still you're growing, which I'll just be honest with you, no one ever attains a full measure of faith, at least not in this life. There's always an area of faith that we can grow in. And so every step we take is a step further in our walk of faith with the Lord. But the end of our walk of faith, we don't reach that end until we get to the point where the Father calls us home. Whether it's through death here on earth or Christ comes back and we're all out of here at the same time. Regardless, until faith becomes sight, we never stop growing in faith. And so we keep pushing forward. We keep increasing. We start off with a base of faith, but then we're looking to build on that. And so I don't know about you, but one thing I've noticed is if you have a house, that's wonderful. You have a good foundation, and that's great. Without the foundation, you're not going to build walls. You're not going to put rooms together. You're not going to have a roof. It's nice to have a good, solid foundation to build on. But you ever noticed that if somebody wants to add on to their house, they don't start by just sticking walls up in the air? What do? If you want to add on to your house, you have to add on an area of foundation first. And once you add on an area of foundation, you can then begin to build on it like you did the first part of the foundation. And that is exactly how we're still working here. Faith is our foundation. And we might build on our starting of faith and our understanding as of right now when it comes to faith in my life. And I'm building on what I know now. But as I grow in the Lord and as He teaches me more, the foundation that I built, my first structure of following God and my first structure of how I live my life for the Lord, that foundation of faith and all that's been built, I don't want to tear all that down. I just want to add to it. So I have to increase my faith. I have to broaden that foundation so I have more room to build again. And that's what we're looking at here. We've gone from faith in the basis foundation of that to adding to your faith virtue. And we said virtue is just that pure obedience. It is living right, doing right in the sight of God. It is being right with God. That virtue brings about a testimony even with others that see. But then also we said from virtue we add knowledge. When we're right with God, we can also then be right in our mentality of God, our knowledge of God, and the knowledge that He wants to impart to us will not be a fleshly knowledge that we gather unto ourselves and use to get us away from God. That knowledge, when we have the right heart, that knowledge that comes after that will be a knowledge that will draw us closer to God, not cause us to go further from Him in our own desires. So therefore, knowledge must come after virtue. And that knowledge is going to be about God and what He wants for our life. Then we add to knowledge temperance. We get some ideas of what God wants to do in our life, what He wants us to do with our lives, how we can serve Him. But in everything, we're going to have to learn how to temper ourselves, how to basically just control ourselves as a child of God. And that comes in many different areas when you talk about control. But it especially deals with when you're dealing with and working with other people. Circumstances can definitely get you off temper, but people can do it faster than anything else. And if we're going to reach the end result of what God wants for our life, we've got to learn temperance. And now we're on patience. We're to add to our temperance patience. Once we've learned to temper or place our emotions, place who we are, place those things that drive us underneath the control of God, then we've learned how to be tempered according to God's plan and God's design. And through that, He now has prepared us to where we can learn a very valuable lesson called patience. If you don't learn how to temper your emotions, you'll never find victory in this area of patience. It's hard to wait. It's hard to just step back, let God move in God's timing, in the way that He knows is best, and just trust Him the entire time. Now, we've dealt with patience. Like I said, this makes Sunday number 4 that we've been dealing with this. And I know just about everybody in here is ready to move on to a different topic, because the more you talk about this, the more you get to practice it. And you're not the only ones, okay? We're all getting this opportunity. I think Miss Beth was telling me in the office the other day, "Preacher, please get done with it. Please get done with it, because the Lord is really, really testing." But and I point her out just because I can. She's my secretary. Somebody's got to keep her humble. But no. Listen, I get picked on myself. One thing is for sure, if you're going to dish it, you better be able to take it. And so I do very, very, work very hard on being able to take the picking as well, all right? But we all have had our struggles over the last several weeks, and the Lord, I believe, has given opportunity for all of us to learn a little bit about patience. And some of y'all is just, I am your tribulation. I'm helping the Lord to teach you patience, all right? Especially in dealing with this particular subject. So let me pray, and then we're going to look at patience. Again, and I didn't go on all the way, but just a reminder, we are trying to get to that final destination of charity. Loving God the way He should be loved, okay? The love of the Father, our love to the Father, and also then having the charity like Christ would have charity, or the love of others, having a love like the Father. Okay, we're never going to learn to love like the Father until we have gotten these other areas in our life built up. And so we're trying to reach that aspect of our lives called charity, like God would have us to have the things we should practice in our life. So let's pray, and we're going to look at patience one more time and wrap this up tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for allowing us to be in Your house. Thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to have the freedom in this country and the chance we have to openly come together with the chance, Lord, just to sing Your praises, to talk about how good our God is, and also to look into Your Word to challenge us. Lord, give the Holy Spirit free reign that He might bring about great conviction in our hearts and lives, and how we can improve as a child of God to serve You better, Lord, to represent You better on a daily basis. I pray that You'd help us to learn this last little bit in dealing with patience, Lord, and may we take what we have been taught, all that we've looked at, and remember it so as to be able to apply these truths in our lives when it's evident that You're bringing about things that would help to teach us the value of patience, waiting on the Lord and trusting in Your decisions. And I pray that You would help us, Lord, to learn these truths, remember these truths, and apply them on a daily basis. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so very, very, very quick recap, and I'll give you the last point, all right? When we're dealing with patience, we said patience, unfortunately, in today's society has been redefined, just like a lot of things have been redefined. And basically, here is what we say patience in society. Here's what it means. When people talk about patience, it's just, it's the ability to just Hold on until it's over. Just hold on a little bit longer. That's the idea we have when it comes to patience. If you can hold on long enough, you'll survive. But that's not godly patience. Patience is not just holding on. We've already dealt with a couple of things. That the definition in the dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary to be specific, is patience is a noun. It's not something you do. It's something you possess. It's a thing. Patience, by definition, is the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation. Big word. This means being provoked. Mm-hmm. People will teach you patience one way or the other. Or other evil. Now watch. It doesn't end with the suffering of and the dealing with. It then goes on with a calm, unruffled temper. That's temperance. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Now, you take that definition, not even going to God's word specifically, but you just take that Webster's definition of patience, and it completely blows the modern day mentality of patience out of the water. It's not just holding on. It's holding on with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without the murmuring or fretfulness. Most people, when they get on social media, they lose the battle instantly when it comes to patience. Because they start talking about what they're going through. Oh, we're just enduring. And then they start griping and complaining and pointing fingers. And let one person, not meaning anything by it, but let one person, in an attempt to try to encourage them, say the wrong thing. Because they really don't know how somebody's going to take what you're saying. But you just try to be an encouragement. But you say the wrong, just one word. Or better yet, it's just taken the wrong way. You didn't mean it the way they took it. But they took it because they already got a chip on their shoulder about the circumstance they're in. And so you say one thing, and all of a sudden, boom! They blow up because, well, you haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know. You can't even talk unless you've walked in my shoes. You can't. It's like, whoa, time out. I was trying to be an encouragement. I wasn't trying to attack you. You realize some of the most needful things in life, and I almost hate saying it because none of us enjoy it, but it's constructive criticism. Not destructive, and not just criticism, but constructive. That is speaking the truth in love. That is sometimes just saying what nobody, it's obvious, but nobody wants to say it because I definitely don't want to rock that boat. I'm going to get grilled on social media. It may not be you need to push it up and put it on social media. Maybe you just need to send it in a private message. Just say, I love you. Let me just encourage you. And then give a scripture verse about what to do when you're dealing with hard things. Oftentimes it's turning back to the Lord. Stop looking inward and start looking upward. And it's amazing how much the Lord can help through the problems. But that dealing with, I got off on that all because of the definition of patience, all right? That dealing without murmuring, all right? Without the murmuring and without the fretfulness, which is probably the two of the most difficult things to do during hard times. But we talked about patience. Now you get on the biblical side of it, and you don't just see Webster's definition of that, but look at what God lays out as patience. And we said patience, number one, is bearing without the complaining. It is the bearing of things. And we looked at Matthew 5, 11, and 12. We looked at Philippians 4, 11 through 13. We said that patience is bearing no matter how much is asked of us to bear. It's bearing without complaining. It's not, well, Lord, it's too much. God never places on our lives. Now, I'll put it this way. Some people say, and I, nothing against what some men say, But I have heard many times, God will never give you what you can't handle. I'll change that up a little bit because I don't believe that's a true statement. I believe God will and does on a regular basis place into our lives what we can't handle. But he never places in our lives what we can't handle with him taking the lead and helping us through it. He always gives a way of escape. He always gives an option to follow, and it's always him as the option to follow. Now, we, be honest with you, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to say, listen, more than half of what comes my way in life is stuff I personally don't feel like I can handle. More than half of what God allows to go on in my life, some of the miserable things that I've experienced in life, is more than I can handle. And that is a very true statement, because in this flesh and by myself and in my strength, I do not have what it takes to handle what life can bring. But with the grace of God and with the strength he can provide, he never puts on me more than what is bearable with him yoked up with me. Yoked up on my own, handling it through the flesh, I can't do it. But he always desires for me to be drawn closer to him. So therefore, he will put things that I cannot handle by myself on me, so that I get closer to the one who can help me to bear it. As we go on, we said, of course, patience is bearing without complaining, no matter how much. Then we also said that patience, number two, is not just bearing without complaining, but it's trusting without worrying. It's placing trust. We went to James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. If you want to write that down, I'm not going to go there. We also talked from Psalm 62, 8 and Psalm 37, 1 through 5. But basically we said patience being the act of trusting without worrying. We said as a whole, patience is just that trusting no matter how long. So it's bearing no matter how much. It's trusting no matter how long. And here is the last one, what y'all have been waiting for. See, that's how preachers work. The Lord gives us something that we have laid out. I have 3 points, and I've been able to stretch it out into 4 Sundays. All right? It's kind of like some of my friends talked about. Yeah, I was able to cram 4 years of college into 6. All right? So there's just always that ability to stretch things out. But when dealing with patience, I'll be honest with you, we could deal with it for months and never truly exhaust the education from God's word concerning this very serious matter of patience. But thirdly, not only is it being able to bear without complaining or trust without worrying, patience, lastly, is running without quitting. You see, you don't actually get to claim that you're patient if you quit before it's over. You can't actually claim, I'm just waiting on the Lord, if behind the scenes you're doing everything you can to speed the process. Okay? When you stop the running the race and you say, you know what, I'm done waiting, I'm going to try to help God through this, or I'm done waiting, I'm just going to do my own thing. When we quit, it's no longer patience. Patience is being able to, yes, hold on, but you got to be able to bear it no matter how much is asked. You got to be able to trust no matter how long you're asked to trust. And through this area, this third area of patience, running without quitting, it's running no matter how far. It's staying in the race no matter how far he asked you to keep going. One thing is for sure, if you've ever watched people who do the long distance, marathons, but also, what is the cross country. That's what I'm thinking, because you were talking about cross country the other day. So, those that do cross country running, I don't know why in the world anybody would want to do cross country running. I'll be honest with you, just running from the house over here is enough for me. I'm good. But Well, actually, the fastest I ever move is when my wife says that supper is ready. I come running, all right? But when it comes to running, those that are in the cross-country race, you can't claim success unless you actually cross the finish line. You can't claim that you're a cross-country runner if you've never, ever finished a cross-country. That's just my personal opinion. Now, you can say, I'm on the team. That's wonderful. But to actually claim and be legitimate, well, I run cross-country. Well, yeah, I can claim that too, as long as nobody watches. But if it comes down to it and I start the race, but I only go a quarter of the way and I find the nearest tree to cut into and whew, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. Listen, or it doesn't matter where, you can go three quarters of the way and say I'm finished. If you run every single race and you never finish the race, then you're not truly a complete cross-country runner. You're not a marathon runner, technically. If every single time you run a marathon, you never finish the marathon. You quit before it's over. If you never finish, now you can claim to be a starter, but you can't claim to be a finisher. Now, when you claim to say, well, I do this or I do that, or, you know, listen, we're talking about completions. We're talking about finishing. Unless I learn to finish, I really don't have much right to claim that I am what I say I am. You know, put it this way. You can't claim to be a high school graduate unless you actually finish and graduate high school. You can't do the same thing with college. Well, yeah, I'm a college man. Really? Where'd you go to college? Oh, so-and-so. Really? Okay. When'd you graduate? Oh, I didn't. Okay, so you went to college, but you didn't actually graduate, so you're not actually a college graduate. Well, I mean, yeah, semantics. You know, that's just neither here nor there. You know, I went for about a half a semester. Listen, put it this way. I'm just throwing a lot of things out there tonight, okay? This is a grenade. All right. You can't claim to be a studier of God's word if you pick it up once a month, read through a couple of verses and put it down. Oh, I study God's word. If we averaged out how much you really studied, let's just put it this way. If we averaged out how much we actually study, let me put myself in the lump, okay? And we look at the hours we have in a day and the time we actually spend studying God's word, can we actually claim to be someone who studies the word of God? Now, I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying a lot of things that people claim are not really in reality what they're claiming. To say, well, yeah, I'm a patient person. I know how to be patient. Listen, if somebody claims to know how to be patient, but every time an opportunity to be patient comes up, they throw a fit and they complain about having to wait on something. I can't believe, tell you what, these stinking fast food restaurants, man, they get slower and slower every single time. It's called fast food for a reason, because I shouldn't have to wait. And then you come up, now I'm preaching. Then you come up to somebody and like somebody talks about, well, I tell you what, it's just hard to wait on the Lord. Oh, yes, I know, but the Lord's taught me a lot about patience lately. I tell you, 1 minute you're complaining about the fast food restaurant not being fast enough and I shouldn't be having to wait this long. I'm about to just drive off and leave them with it. And we turn around the next minute, we claim that we're learning how to be patient. Lord's teaching me how to be patient. Listen, we claim as human beings, we claim a lot of things. It doesn't mean we've actually learned it. And it doesn't mean we actually practice it. It's easy to speak of, much harder to actually do. Patience, running without quitting. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. tells us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Looking unto Jesus, again, there is where your strength comes from. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Our faith, the foundation we're building on. He is the author of it. He's also the finisher of it, which means that he has to be there through the whole entire process. He starts it, he finishes it, which means he promises to be there in our walk of faith as we're adding to our faith each one of these things, even with the area of patience. He's the author of faith. He's the finisher of faith. He's in the midst of our walk of faith, and he's there to help us with this area of patience, running the race set before us. It goes on to say, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Consider all that he went through. Consider, he understands. Listen, the Lord had to wait for the cross. You ever thought about that? How many times did he say, "It's not my time yet"? And he left an area because he knew they wanted to kill him right then. They wanted to lay hands on him. And so he left. Why? Because he said, "It's not time. You've got to be patient." He was patient during the trial. He was patient during the mockings. He was patient during every single bit of it to get to the cross. And he was patient during the time of dealing with and bearing our sins on the cross. No one understands patience more than the author and finisher of our faith. The strength to continue is found through the endurance. And endurance is not found in the flesh. It's found through the Spirit. It's found through the Lord Jesus Christ being the one who strengthens. No runner has the ability to finish a race without a daily training routine. Only through consistent practice can the needed endurance be gained. So, by that particular setting, just understand that we as a child of God don't learn patience on the moment we need patience. We don't learn how to be a patient person with obstacles or with people or with God, what God brings us through in life. You don't learn, okay? Grace is applied at the moment of need. Yes, I'll give you that much. Patience is not something that acts like grace. Patience, God doesn't look and say, "Okay, you need patience." Poof, there it is. Now, when it comes to grace, when grace is needed, God gives grace. When a double portion of grace, God pours out more grace. You don't receive the grace you need until you need it and God gives it. That's why you don't understand the whole idea of dying grace. You really don't understand dying grace until you get to the point where God knows, "Oh, that's what they need. Here's what they need." Listen, patience is not grace. Patience is not something that you're walking through life, all of a sudden you hit this brick wall, "Lord, I need patience right now." Number one, that right there defeats the whole purpose. To pray for patience immediately is completely the breaking apart of patience, okay? Patience is something that we practice. To endure in this race, to survive when we need to practice or when we need to have the patience to continue, to actually get over that hurdle, you have to practice patience. And you have to practice some more. And you have to practice some more. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. The first time you try to show patience with somebody, you're probably not going to succeed. I say probably because there's always the possibility. But the first time you run into an obstacle called a person who just happens, as this is just the way I put it, when people get stupid, it gets really hard. It gets really hard. I'm not calling people stupid. I'm just saying the way they act, the way we all act sometimes is not the smartest thing, all right? But when people act a certain way that really punches your buttons and you need to be patient with them, you're not always going to win the battles on the first few tries. But if your goal is to learn patience with each time, God just might stick that person in your life that is constantly there to help you with patience. It might be your child. 1, 2, where's 3? Three. Okay. I'm not saying they do that. I'm just saying it's a possibility, okay? It might be your parents. Okay. But it could be family. It could be friends. It could be coworkers. Regardless, as a matter of fact, just talking about this, you probably already had a name come to mind. I know the one. But God possibly might put somebody in your life that is going to be your trainer in patience. They don't know that, but you figure it out pretty quick. Because if anybody is going to instill in you the need for patience, it's going to be them. And so God gives you this person, and you can complain about them, and you can gripe about them, and you can post on social media everything but their name if you want to. However, it might be that God has placed that instrument in your life so that you can practice what one day you're going to need a large amount of. And you learn a little bit more with each time that you have to refrain yourself, temperance, and practice patience. Practice patience. Practice patience. You say, why, God? Why did you do this to me? But then one day comes a really big scenario in your life. And this individual that you've been dealing with day after day after day, and you've been praying, Lord, teach me to be patient with them. Lord, help me. Give me the strength to deal with them as a child of God should deal with them. Lord, give me the temperance. Give me the ability to do what is not within me to do. Help me with this. And then one day comes a much bigger obstacle, and we've been practicing and practicing and practicing, and then God brings something in our path that now we're going to have to wait not weeks, not months. Sometimes we might have to wait years for God's answer to a particular situation with our life. And what we've practiced and practiced and practiced with this one person, or maybe with these small little issues, has helped us to learn the endurance of patience. Learn how to daily remember the need for patience. Not forget, it's something we have to constantly remember is important in my life. And it might be you come to that one big obstacle, that big hurdle, that there is no jumping over each day. But it's going to require a much larger amount of patience. And you're not being patient with the person, you're having to be patient with the Lord. You're having to wait on Him. And through that, you're having to not complain about it. You're also having to be willing to say, Lord, however long you decide I need to be patient, I'll wait. And Lord, however far I have to go in life before I finally see the answers, I'll stick with you. I'm not going to quit just because I've gotten tired of patience. Listen, we're all going to get tired. That's why it takes endurance. That's why it takes understanding. Sometimes these things that God puts in our life is to help us practice in small areas what He knows one day we're going to have to practice in big ways. Patience is running no matter how far. It's just sticking with it. It's staying on the path. It's not getting sidetracked. It's just knowing where victory is going to come from and just waiting on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:24 tells us, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Listen, don't quit. Don't give up. Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Listen, every act of trusting God, every act of patience and waiting for Him, asking Him to guide, asking Him to lead, and then being patient enough to let Him show us what that next step is. Patient enough to let Him instill in us the wisdom of how to deal with a particular matter or a particular person. Being patient with God's direction, God's leading, God's timing gives us the ability to know that as I am following Him and as I am waiting on Him and I'm learning patience with the Lord's will in my life, that I can know in the end, I'll look back and I'll be able to say that my labor was not in vain. That my waiting was not in vain. The patience that I practiced was not in vain. God is the only one in the entire universe who has the right to run out of patience. And there are times where His patience has been stretched to the point where He says, enough is enough. You see it through the Bible, where the Lord says at times, I've had enough. Judgment's coming. By the way, we are living on borrowed time. We are living every day by the grace and mercy and patience of the Lord. Only the Father knows when the Son is going to be sent to return and call out His bride. The Lord, I believe, honestly, every single day is showing a measure of patience with this world. When you look at what this world is doing, you look at how hard this world is running from God to everything that is against God, and you have to say the Lord is extremely patient with man. But there's coming a day, and the end will be here. There's coming a day where He says, okay, that's all they get. Son, go get your bride. And then judgment follows. The Lord has great patience. He shows it on a daily basis. And one day it will run out completely. And time, as we know it, time is going to come to an end after tribulation and things that take place in the as the Lord judges this earth. But eventually we'll step into eternity and we won't have to worry about having to learn patience. We'll be with the One who has helped us all the way and we'll be there for all eternity in a perfect setting. But we have to, while we are still running this race, while we are still enduring what life throws at us, we have got to learn that patience is not something that we do. It is something we possess and practice. We take it with us. We add to our faith this work of patience. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, her complete work. Let it finish you and complete you. Knowing that patience, as we said, is bearing without complaining, trusting without worrying, and running without quitting. Biggest question, have you added to your faith patience? Are you willing to practice it? If you look around, and I'll end with this thought, and this applies to every one of us, because trust me, I'm not teaching this as one who has mastered, okay? I can teach you more from the mistakes I make than from the things that I know, right? Every single one of us have got to keep in mind that the very things we wish to complain about in life more than likely, very possibly, are the things that God or the people that God has placed in our lives so that on a daily basis He can remind us of the importance of learning patience. Because those little nagging daily frustrations that you wish God would just remove, like Paul said, he begged God to remove the thorn in the flesh until the day the Lord said, no, I'm not going to take it from you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Those very things that you sometimes say, well, God, just will you just get these people out of my way? Will you get these circumstances out of my life? Lord, I'm sick and tired of dealing with this every single day. And the Lord might say, but it's a problem. You're not viewing it from the viewpoint that I want you to view it. You're seeing it from the frustration side, but you're not seeing it from the side of what I'm trying to teach you. It might be the very things that you desire to complain about every day, and the desire, what I desire to complain about every day, or the people we wish we could complain to God about every single day. It could be they're the ones that God has purposefully placed in our lives so that he can teach us daily patience. Because he knows coming up, we're going to need an extra measure of patience for what he's going to throw in our lap down the road. Because he's got a greater work he wants to do with us, but we will not survive it. We will not stay in the race if we don't practice the daily patience with the little frustrations that we face regularly. So, preacher, how do you know that's what God's placed in my life? I don't. All I know is the Lord is always seeking to teach his children how to be more Christ-like. He is always placing within our lives things that sometimes we view from a human perspective, and he really wishes we would view it from a spiritual perspective. I'm not trying to be super spiritual tonight, be honest with you. More than anything else, I'm preaching to myself. Because if there's one thing, people say, patience is a virtue. My saying is, it's a virtue I don't have much of, okay? Patience is probably my biggest struggle when it comes to some of the simplest things in life. I'm a little OCD. Just a little. I like things being done right. I like things being done the way I think it needs to be done. Some of y'all are smiling because you're the same way, okay? Don't judge me, okay? But listen, every single one of us have got to learn. God makes no mistakes. He doesn't accidentally put the wrong people in your life. He doesn't accidentally put the wrong circumstances in your life on a daily basis. Those frustrations you have, those daily issues you face, that coworker that really, honestly, you wish God would just move on to the next job. It might be that they are ordained of God for your life because he wants to use them as a tool to help you grow. Because he knows you're going to need the strength down the road. And if you don't practice now, you won't be ready for later. Patience is a hard thing to learn. But if we can learn patience, you'll find we've got more than half of the job taken care of when it comes to acting and being like Christ. A representation of what a child of God should be, a Christ-like spirit. Patience is a big, big part of that. Heavenly Father, I thank you.